Welcome to Chapel, everybody. Hope you guys are having a good time. Before I introduce my speaker, I want to remind you that we always have coffee available for you. So every time you come to Chapel, make sure you grab coffee on us, okay? I am excited, so excited and thrilled to introduce our speaker today, Pastor Sammy Lopez, especially because of what he means to me, what he's meant to me personally, but also to my ministry. It was 10 years ago, almost 11 years ago, where I was at a youth gathering, at a youth event of about 5,000 college students, college and high school students, where I felt convicted to give my life to the ministry. And it was because of the sermon, it was because of the message by Pastor Sammy Lopez, where he encouraged us to live an authentic Christian life in a way that we didn't confuse people, that we were true to the scripture and true to the Lord. And so Pastor Sammy Lopez has meant so much to me over the years, and directly and indirectly has impacted my ministry. And so grateful for you, Pastor. Let me tell you a little bit about Pastor Sammy. Pastor Sammy Lopez currently serves as the pastor of Mighty Fortress Church in San Antonio, Texas. He is also a national speaker for I Am Second. He graduated from Criswell College. Give it up. Yep. I thought you were going to give me some energy there. He graduated from Criswell College back in 1994. He did graduate work from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. He is married to his beautiful wife, Judy. And most importantly, not most importantly, but very importantly, he is the grandpa to the beautiful Sienna, give it up. He'll appreciate that. So grateful for Pastor Sammy Lopez and his testimony, and so excited that you get to be blessed by him today. Would you come and speak to us?
Well, God bless you guys, man. It's great to be back. Criswell, man, this is right here. It's where it all happened right here, man. Right here in the Horner Hall is where it all happened. Some of you have no idea what I'm even talking about, but it happened here. What I mean by that is I was like one of five Latinos in this school. And so it's good to see a Latino like Mr. Luis being a part of this organization, this amazing school. Let me say this to you, man. You know, I hear it all the time. I remember when I was, you know, in chapel, there's always someone that was a, you know, if they were a an alum, they would come in and say, I sat down right where you were. And I remember hearing the sermons right where you were. And I would laugh at it and think, man, you're old. And now here I am. And I remember sitting right where you were. And man, I'm old, man, straight up. But what an honor to be with you guys, man. So I don't want to take too much of your time. Open your Bibles with me if you haven't. To Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17. I'm a pastor in San Antonio, Texas, and Criswell College was a major part, if you will, of my growth in ministry. And my I learned my foundations, if you will, in ministry and theology here. So I'm forever grateful to this ministry and to this school. Matthew 17, I want to look at verse 24 and 27, and then I'll say a few words and I'll sit down and we'll be on our way out. But 24 through 27, Matthew 17, the Bible says, when they came to Capernaum, those who collected the two drachma tax came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the two drachma tax?" He said, "Yes." And when he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From what do the kings of the earth collect customs or poll tax? From their sons or from strangers?" When Peter said, "From strangers," Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are exempt." Verse 27. "However, so that we do not offend them, go to the sea. and throwing a hook. Now watch this. Go in the sea, throwing a hook, and take the first fish that comes up. And when you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for you and me. David Blaine has nothing on Jesus. That is amazing. Now, hold on for just a second and consider this very, just think about this today. Think about what Jesus asked him to do. Think about it. Just really think about it. Peter, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go to the sea, get your hook, throw it in there. The first fish that you catch, take it out. And when you take him out, open its mouth, and inside of his mouth will be a shekel. Pay them for us. Now think about that for a second. Because there's a lot happening just in verse 27. And please, I'm not going to give a deep exegetical breakdown, theological discussion on this. I just want to take this in a practical way and consider specifically what's happening here at this very moment. Jesus saying, look, Peter, go and take that hook and throw it in there, take the fish out, the first one that comes out, open his mouth, take out the shekel, and go pay them. Now, consider this for a second. If you heard Jesus say that, what do you think Peter was probably thinking? The Bible didn't say or tell us, Scripture doesn't detail what was in the mind of Peter, but we can assume for a brief moment, hearing something that crazy, I'm sure Peter would have thought a lot of things in his mind. Jesus, are you... I don't mean to second guess you. What? Are you sure this is what you want me to do? I mean, in this detail, You want me to grab this hook, throw it into the sea, open up the first fish, not the second fish, but the third fish, the first fish, take it out, open its mouth, and there's a shekel inside there. Out of all the fishes in the Sea of Galilee, you want me to take it out? Now, this is why... this is classic Jesus. This is usually how Jesus works. And that's why many of you here today at Criswell College. This is the reason why God has called you for this specific purpose. Because the things that we thought we were going to do and the things that we thought we were going to accomplish, all of a sudden God has something else in mind for you and me. Hence the reason why God has brought us to this very location. At this very moment, in this very time, in this crazy season that we're living in, this crazy culture that we're experiencing, out of all places in the United States of America, or if not the world, God said, you're going to come to the Criswell College, and this is where you're going to learn. Now, allow me to give you three things to consider regarding the story. And please, you can write it out if you want to, memorize it, teach it to your youth group this week, whatever you want to do with it. It's yours. But allow me just to give you a practical application to what Jesus tells Peter. Number one, consider this. When God is up to something, sometimes the things that he asks us to do doesn't make sense. How many know what I'm talking about today? Like, you know when God's up to something because all of a sudden the things that you want to do, you're not doing it. Okay, God, hold on, time out. You want me to do what? I think we've all been there in that moment where we know that there is something we'd like to accomplish, something we'd like to do. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, God throws in this curveball, and he says, no, this is what I want you to do. See, that was me back in 1991. I'm giving you my age now. 1991, I'm 18 years old. I gave my life to Jesus. I grew up in the church. My dad's a pastor. My grandfather's a pastor. My great-grandfather's a pastor. My uncles are all pastors. And the last thing I want to be in my life was a pastor. There's no way, man. Number one, reason why I don't want to be a pastor. Number one, pastor don't make any money. I don't want to be a pastor. Number two, there are too many pastors in my family. I don't want to be a pastor. At the age of 13 years old, again, I remember at the age of 5 years old, I remember saying the prayer and giving my life, saying the prayer, supposedly give my life to Jesus at Vacation Bible School. But as I grew older and I began to recognize and see the hypocrisy in the church and the way that my mom and dad were treated as pastors and the way that church members treated them and deacons and everybody else, I said, I will never, ever, ever do this. At the age of 13 years old, I left God on purpose. I wanted nothing to do with the church, nor did I want anything to do with God. Didn't mean I didn't hate. Didn't mean I hated them. No, I didn't want anything to do with them, because if this was what Christianity was about, I wanted nothing to do with it. I seen the way my mom and dad were hurt in ministry at the age of 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 years old. I'm out. I'm not even serving the Lord at the age of 18. Now I'm graduating high school. And I said, man, when I graduate high school, I'm going to go to college. I'm going somewhere else, and that's what I'm going to do. And not only that, I'm never going to go back to church. And I remember my dad said, Mijo, please, would you please at least go to one more youth camp? I said, I'm not going to youth camp. No, I'm done, Dad. My dad always had a way with me. He said, well, Mijo, there'll be girls there. And I'm like, all right, what youth camp do you want me to go to? So I go to youth camp. I'm sitting in the back row. Listen, the youth camp that I went to, you may have never heard of it. It's called Alto Frio Baptist Encampment. And I'm sitting in the back row. It's outside. Outside Tabernacle. Sun's already down. It's dark. I'm sitting in the back. Sunglasses on in the back between two girls. I mean, they're my counselors, but listen, this doesn't matter. Look, I'm in the back. I'm not even, you know what I'm saying? I'm a jerk, man. And I'm sitting in the back. All of a sudden, man, I heard the gospel. And then all of a sudden, Jesus changed my life. For 30 years, I've been doing this. And I remember I was the first one to the altar, giving my life to Jesus. And I remember crying out to God. I said, God, not only do I give my life to you and confess you as my Savior and as my Lord, but the very thing that I said I will never do, I'm yours. I will submit my life to your ministry. I will do what you called me to do. And man, God brought me here to the Criswell College, and this is where I learned, right here. Changed my life radically. And again, one thing that I've learned, listen, one thing I've learned in ministry, and I hope we all understand this, is that one thing that we must learn is to never say never. Especially in ministry. The moment we say never, God starts laughing. I said, I will never be a pastor. 29 years of the 30 years I've been in ministry, I've been a pastor. I will never do. I said, I will never move to Houston, Texas. I lived there for 10 years. My daughter said, Dad, I will never marry a pastor. I started laughing. She's married to a pastor. Listen. If you want to speak it, say, I will never have a beach ministry in Acapulco. That's how you're supposed to speak it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, no, I'm going to be no pastor. But never say never, because when we say never, again, listen. There may be some of you even this morning. You're studying at Criswell. But you can already see God doing something in you that you thought you would never do. Maybe some of you this morning, you're feeling a shift. You're feeling a shift out of certain things, but you're also feeling a shift into certain things. And sometimes we don't know God's leading, and oftentimes it feels like what God is asking me to do is sometimes even far-fetched. It's like he's saying to you, look, get that hook, go to the sea, throw it in there. Get that fish out, open its mouth, and the shekel's going to come out. You know, it'd been a lot easier if Jesus would have said, hey, man, I got a couple of shekels in my tunic. Here you go. Go pay the guys off. That's not how Jesus works. See, God is all about showing his power. And God is not only all about showing his power. Jesus wanted to show Peter, look, Peter, I'm in control of all this. And Peter, I'm going to teach you something through this. I just need you to trust me. And not only am I going to teach you something through this, I'm going to teach you in a way that speaks your language. You're a fisherman. I'm going to teach you in such a way that I'm going to show you right in front of your face how powerful I am and the things that I can do through you. If God is going to do something amazing through you, and if you say, God, look, I want you to do something amazing to me. Yes, I'm going to school and I'm learning these things. I'm learning now and I get it, God. But God, I need you. I want you. I desire you to do something amazing in my life. Then I would say this to you. If we desire for God to do something amazing in our lives, then you got to prepare yourself, no pun intended, for some fishy moments. Because the thing that you said and the thing that we said that we were going to do winds up being the opposite. Because some of us would say, my plan is. You ever said that? My plan is, man plans his steps, but God will ordain his ways. Are you with me? No. My plan is I'm going to go to such and such, and I'm going to do such and such for such and such a time, and this is what I'm going to be doing with my life. God's plan me. Have you finding shekels in the mouths of fish? God may say, no, you're not going to do that. Matter of fact, this is what you're going to do. You're going to pastor a church, or you're going to be a missionary somewhere, or you're going to plant a church, or whatever it is that God's going to have you do, you may do something completely different. But here's the key. The key of all this is that when God is up to something, remember this, when God is up to something, sometimes what he does and what he wants us to do may not make any sense. But are you open enough to say, God, as I'm here in this season, at this school for this moment, God, I'm willing and ready to do whatever you want me to do for your glory. It doesn't matter what you want me to do. I'm willing to take it. We just saw a man, pastor in Canada, who came to America for 4 months preaching and sharing how the government in Canada are trying to close churches. I don't know if you saw yesterday on the news, he goes back, and when he gets off the plane, they arrested him off the plane, and now they're going to keep him there, for 6 years. He talks about how he went to Bible college and all these other things, and here we are right now. Like, man, you're in Bible college. You're here. God has you here for a purpose. What if your purpose is to be arrested for the cause of Christ? What if your purpose is to start another church in Timbuktu? You may say, well, I'm going to stay in this city, in this state. What if God said, no, you're going to go to Timbuktu, Georgia, and that's where you're going to serve me. You're going to go to Timbuktu, Illinois, and this is where I'm going to use you for my glory. See, sometimes God is all about showing his power. And the way that he does it oftentimes allows us and puts us in a position where we have to trust him. You know, one of the scariest things you can ever hear is from your mom. I got a phone call from my mom a couple of years ago, and she said, Mijo, I got cancer. That's the ugliest thing you'll ever hear in your life. I have breast cancer. And it hits you across the head. And there I have my mom having breast cancer. She's going through chemo, and she lost all her hair. And I remember going to go speak at a D-Now in Taylor, Texas. Speaking at D-Now in Taylor, Texas, an hour before I got on the stage for that Sunday morning to preach to the congregation, I get a phone call from my mom, saying, Mijo, come home. Your dad had a heart attack. Tell you something, man. There's some times where God's gonna allow us to be in a position where you have to trust him. There's some things in your life, man, where you can think, God, I don't know what you're doing. But sometimes God doesn't necessarily want you to know what he's doing. He just wants you to trust him. And the question I have for you this morning is, are you willing to trust him? Are you willing to do the craziest things in this world, throwing hooks in seas, grabbing out fish, open up their mouths and grab it and take a shekel out of it? Second thing we must consider today is, through it all, what God desires of us is obedience. Think about that today. If anything that God wants of us today, man, is obedience. He just wants us to be obedient. Stay obedient to him. Stay focused on what he wants you to do. Peter did exactly what Jesus asked him to do. When Jesus asked him, of course, we don't ever read at all because, again, the Bible didn't tell us that Jesus and him had an exchange. We don't know that. All we do know is that what Jesus asked, Peter did. We don't read that Peter had an argument with Jesus or that Peter questioned Jesus' motive. We don't read that. What we do read is that Peter did exactly what Jesus told him to do. And if Peter's seen Jesus perform miracles before, what makes him think that he was not going to perform right in front of his face also? God is all about that. God is all about showing us who he is, and God is about showing us his power and his glory and his sovereignty and his might. God is about showing us that he is king, that he is a ruler. God is all about showing that our lives are in his hands. God is all about showing us who he is so that at the end of our days, at the end of our study, and everything that we do when it's all said and done, at the end, that God will receive glory in absolutely everything. Yeah. Amen? The blessing from the Lord is that he allows us to be placed in a situation where we must trust him and we must obey him. There'll be times where we have no idea what the Lord's doing. Have you ever been there? Maybe you're there now. Maybe you're there in that moment now. Like, God, what are you doing? Okay, I'm here. I'm serving at the church that I'm serving at. I get it, but Lord, what are you doing? Listen, God doesn't have to tell us what he's doing. And remember that. Right? That's his sovereignty. That's his power. He doesn't have to tell us what he's doing. He doesn't have to define Sammy, this is what I'm doing, and this is the reason why. No, we may not even know what he's doing until the end of our days, or until we see him face to face. Sometimes our job and our role is not to find out what God's doing. Sometimes what he wants to do is just to test us and show us, but do you trust me? I brought you this far. Do you trust me? And do you love me enough to obey me through it all? Trust and obey. For there's no other way. Come on, you already know the song, right? Come on, that's oldie, but it's a goodie, but it's true. It's a real deal. Trust and obey him in the process. God, but I want to know what you're doing. I'm not going to show you what I'm doing. Because if I show you what I'm doing, you're going to be blown away at the end. Just trust me and obey me because you love me. Don't question it. Just walk with it and go for the greatest adventure of your life. So obey him. Number three, I'll end with this. And remember this. Through it all, in ministry, in life, in school, if the Lord is going to ask you to throw a hook in the sea, remember that the Lord will always provide the shekel. Those that have ears, let them hear on that one. Because this may be timely for you. I know what it feels like being in ministry and being in college and you have no money. And first of all, let me just say this, how jealous I am of this school, especially this class. Let me tell you why, because when I once came to college, we didn't have those amazing dorms right across the street. I lived in an apartment somewhere out there trying to find and have five or six roommates together, and man, we all piled up and we all came to Criswell College. Man, that's how we did it. You guys got dorms. Don't complain. You guys got amazing dorms. And I understand that, man, you're trying to make ends meet. Look, I was in school and then I fell in love and that's what happens. And then I'm worshiping, I'm helping a church out, you know. $200 a month. And I don't know how I was, have you ever felt that way? Like, man, God, how am I gonna make ends meet? I'm going to pay my car, my insurance. Then I got to pay my school. Got to pay tuition. Got to pay my books. Man, I don't know how, man, God. If God's going to tell you to throw a hook in the sea, he's going to provide a shekel for you. Remember that. God's got this. I remember, look, I was a hustler, man. I had a hustle. As a college student, I had a hustle. So like, you know, I got four roommates in one apartment. And then, you know, I'll go to the local Albertsons and buy myself four $1 pizzas. To God be the glory. Four $1 pizzas, right? Four for $1. Now it's one for $4. That's a lie from the devil. Now listen, I went four for $1 pizzas, and this is what I would do, man. Four for $1 pizzas. One for Monday, one for Tuesday, one for Wednesday, one for Thursday. Well, what happens on Friday? Well, Friday, I called it my visitation night. I would go visiting around 5:30, 6 o'clock. A certain family's houses. Knock on the door. Hey, just came to visit and see how you are doing. Oh, brother, glad that you're here. Matter of fact, you made it just on time. We're about ready to have dinner. Well, praise God. You got to learn how to hustle, man. You got to learn how to do this and play the game right. But God will always provide for us in the process, right? Has not God provided? Had not God showed you his power? Had not God showed you his grace and his mercy and allowed you out of all places, out of all things, out of all callings, out of all careers, out of everything that you could have done, could have been, God said, no, this is what I want you to do. I want you to be right here in this moment, at this time, for this season. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to anoint you. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to show you. I'm going to guide you. It's going to be painful sometimes. It's going to be hurtful sometimes. You're going to feel the stretch sometimes. But I love you enough not to let you hang. I love you enough to honor you and use you because you love me right back. But you got to trust him through the whole process and say, God, I'm with you. Thing that you're doing, I don't have to understand. But today, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to trust you. And Lord, at the same time, you've called me not only to obey and to trust, but Lord, I know that whatever you have me do and whatever you want me to do, I'm going to give my life to it. You'll provide the shekel for me, and you'll make it happen. So God, ordain my ways, and I will follow you all the days of my life until you say stop. So that's my encouragement to you today. Keep going, baby. You got this. God's got this. This is the greatest adventure of your life. I'm 48 years old now, and I look at y'all and think, man, dude, if I was like 20-something again, like, I would have done this. I would have done it this way. I would have been better as a student. I would have passed Dr. Metz's class 3 times. I failed 3 times. God bless. But you're in the greatest moment of your life. And honor God with it. So Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. And Lord, help us and teach us what it means to honor you with our lives. Father, we're going to trust you through the whole process. And Lord, as you use Peter to take a shekel out of the mouth of a fish, use us in unthinkable ways. We're yours, God. Here I am. Send me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Man, God bless you guys.
Amen. Amen. You guys, thank Sammy for being here. So I'm tempted to ask you more about the Fellowship Friday nights.
Oh yeah.
But we're going to lunch after this, so I guess you know what you're doing. Who has some questions for Sammy? We're glad you're here, man. This was fantastic.
It's an honor, man. Thank you.
Jonathan's got the mic. I see a hand right over here.
First thing I want to say is I'm from Chicago, Illinois, so maybe I'll be going to Timbuktu, Illinois sometime soon. And then the other thing is, what was it like taking a class with W.A. Criswell himself?
Yes, so it was amazing. Matter of fact, Patrick, right? I'll share that with you today, Patrick. Yeah, so I took the last class that Dr. W.A. Criswell taught was Daniel. And so it was pretty amazing. Matter of fact, I was sharing with Dr. Creamer that in my class, I sat in the front row. And so my roommate and I, Anthony Benavides and myself, we sat in the front row. And I remember when he, the first day of the class, he came in and, you know, it's Dr. W. Criswell, right? He came in and he looked at me, he called me Paul. Paul, and he called Anthony, he called him Barnabas. Barnabas, come up here. And Paul, you're going to give us a word this morning. And then Barnabas, you're going to take all the prayer requests and you're going to pray for everybody. And so every time we met for class, Paul and Barnabas had to do their thing. I had to make sure that I taught something that morning. So my prayer life and my study life had to go up another notch, right? So I had to be prepared in season, out of season, like literally, because Dr. Criswell like straight up told me, you're going to do this every time we meet. And so every time I saw him down the hallway, he didn't call me Sammy, he called me Paul. Hey, Paul. No, it's Sammy. Okay, no, okay, Paul. Right, and he walked off, and that's basically it. So when I see him with the Lord and say, hey, Paul, he'll welcome me as Paul. So it was pretty amazing to answer your question.
Yeah, awesome. Anybody else got any questions? I've got one hold on. I see a hand right back here.
Hello. I like what you said about your dad advised you to go to the other camp. It's, I love because it related to the same story to Matthew 17:27. if you want to listen to your dad, you probably wouldn't experience that. But I have a question similar to that. Instead of your dad, have you ever doubt or questioned God's motive when he asks you to do something that is far-fetched to you and others? And if so, how did you handle that?
Yes, I've doubted it. I've doubted God before. I think that's the thing that we've all done. We just want to say it out loud. But I think we've all doubted God. I did. There's a couple things that he had me do that I questioned. And I even questioned if this was from him. And I had to gather a lot of wisdom from it, from other people. To give me wisdom. This from the Lord. But I think one of the greatest ways to overcome a doubt, especially in the Lord, is have you ever asked the question, Lord, I just want to know your will. Lord, show me your will. Well, in order to know the will of God, you got to know the word of God. And I find myself that if I ever find myself doubting, is because I'm not stronger in the word as I should be. If you really want to hear God speak, open the scriptures. He'll speak very loudly and very clearly. And I think sometimes we make it difficult on ourselves because we're not. I'm speaking for me. I can be inconsistent in my time with him. And every time, and any time I'm inconsistent in my time with him, whether it be prayer or the study of the scripture, then I find myself listening to my own voices, my own thought, my own heart. That's why Proverbs 3 is so important. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, right? All your ways acknowledge him. He'll direct, make your path straight. But that comes through your time with the Lord. And if you have an intimate communication with God, then it's a lot more difficult to doubt him because you'll know what's of him and what's not of him. Hope I answered that question for you.
That's great. Any other questions?
I have a question. So what was your plan before God kind of took over whenever you were, you know, like denying that like the Lord was working in your life in high school?
Yeah, so my plan was to play football. I was actually going to go to Liberty University. I'm talking to Pastor. I was going to Liberty University to play football. I played football in high school, and again, this height. Of course, you know, you're talking about college football. It's a different story. And my dream was to play professionally, and so I really believed that I could have played professionally, right, when I was younger. And so that's what I wanted to do. It's funny because in 2006, it's funny. Let me say this to you: that whenever you give your heart to the Lord and you really said, God, I'm willing to give up my dreams for your will. In other words, I take your will over my dreams at my expense. It's funny how God gives it back to you. So in 2006, the Lord gave me back professional football. So I played pro football in 2006. I played arena football with the Austin Wranglers. And so I was able to be a walk-on. I was more of a tackling dummy than anything else. I didn't run for touchdown. I ran for my life, girls. So that's how it went. So it's cool because it's funny because if you're obedient to the Lord, it's funny that at the age of 33 years old, he gave me back my dream for 1 year. So at the age of 33, Christ was crucified. At 33, I got my dream. That's pretty amazing. And so I'm honored to be a part of that. So yeah, so that's what I wanted to do. And I did it for 1 year.
That's cool. We got any other questions out there? Right over here.
Yeah, I got you, brother. So you mentioned that if you could come back to our time, there's a lot of things you would do differently. You're like, I'd pass Dr. Metz's class 3 times. So what is like the, what's the big one for you? If you could come back to Criswell, do it differently at 20, what would be that one thing you would change?
Take school seriously. Take my study here seriously. And thank the Lord for the men and women of God that teach you. I think sometimes we take it for granted until you realize later on in life, I sat under him. I have his book. Like, I ate lunch with this guy and I took him for granted. Don't take your professor for granted, man. They're amazing men and women. And I would have done that a lot differently, completely a lot differently. I would have taken advantage, honestly, I probably would have asked every question in the book. Yeah, I would have been a better student. How about that? Yeah. Hope I answered your question today.
We got any other questions out there?
Sammy, thanks for being here today. You speak a lot on a pretty national level. I know a lot of our students aspire to be pastors or whatever they aspire to be. I would assume they want to be the best in it. Yet you speak with so much humility while being on a national stage. How do you balance success and humility in your ministry?
Two things, Holy Spirit and Holy Spirit Junior, my wife. I have a wife, man, that is ruthless. And what I mean by that is like she'll set me straight. Like it's difficult to try to even be anything that you're not. It really is, especially with a godly woman that's gonna pray over you and will pray things not for you. So it's your wife. So if you're not married yet, pray for a wife that will help you through that process, right? But at the same time, it's also just being willing to be teachable. We all must be teachable. because we don't have all the answers. Unfortunately, it's funny because when I came to Criswell, I'm 18 years old. I thought I had all the answers. I'm on fire for the Lord. I'm pumped up. I'm excited, dude. I've got a zeal. Man, I'm ready to go, baby. I'm coming to Criswell College, baby. My dad was first graduating class. My uncle was in the graduating class of Criswell. So I'm coming to the alma mater, baby. And I'm going to teach my professor something because the Holy Spirit showed me something. Until I met Dr. John Pretlove. Some of y'all that may know him dissected me and gave it back to me on a platter. And I said, I will never attempt to do that ever again in my life. And so it's surrounding yourself with men of God that will be able to teach you, speak life into you, but at the same time, encourage you. And I would even say this. A lot of people say, yeah, I keep accountable to people my age. No. Keep accountable to someone that's a lot older than you. They'll help you through the whole process. So my accountability and my connections are with older men that speak life into you. They have nothing to lose at all. And they don't care about any platform that we have. They're going to tell you straight up. And that's the kind of men you want to be around.
What are the one or two biggest sort of popular or cultural challenges, either inside the church or outside the church, that you see today? And how should our young students who are going out into the culture be prepared to deal with that?
This influencer generation. Everybody wants to be an influencer. Everybody wants to be relevant. Everybody wants to be relevant to culture. Scripture is not relevant to culture. Scripture dissects culture and brings us to look more like Jesus. I think one of the biggest misconceptions I think a lot of people have is everyone wants a big stage. Everybody wants to be the next Billy Graham. Everybody wants to be the next, and you name the person. I want to be the next this person. You'd be surprised, brother, how many people, I'm sure you know, how many people come to me and said, man, God's given me a vision. I want to speak in front of thousands. If you can't clean the garbage in your own church, you're not going to speak in front of thousands. If you can't serve in the local body, you're not going to speak in front of thousands. And I will say this to you guys. Is I think another misconception is that I'm going to Bible college, and so that's my relationship with Jesus. No, it's not. But going to Bible college is not your relationship with Jesus. Not at all. Matter of fact, on the contrary. You have a personal communion with the Lord. But a lot of us, because I'm going to Bible college, we're not involved in the local body. One of the biggest misconceptions is I don't have to be a part of the local body. No, you must be a part of the local body. Matter of fact, if you're not a part of the local body, I would encourage you, go find a church this week and go be a part of them. And serve them. And honor the church in whom Christ died for. And watch God bless and honor you through the process. I think this whole influencer generation, I'm going to be an influencer. I want to have names on TikTok and Instagram, my aesthetic, you know, how many followers, and I want to be cool and this and this and this. But they have no biblical backbone or spiritual conviction whatsoever. I would say grow a spine, be men, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry.
That's awesome. Any other questions out here? Yeah.
What is that go-to snack that you always have whenever you go and speak in engagements?
The go-to, I'm saying it again?
That go-to snack.
The go-to snack.
Yes.
Come on, baby. Man, you already know. Look, go-to snack. Let me tell you something. If you try this, go today, go to 7-Eleven, go try this. Go grab yourself a Dr. Pepper. Cheetos, a bag of Cheetos, and hot tamales. I know it sounds crazy, right? But grab a Cheeto and a hot tamale, chew it, and drink it with Dr. Pepper. It'll change your life. I promise you, it sounds gross. It sounds, no. That's manna, baby. It's manna.
Sammy, you had credibility up here after your sermon.
Bro, that right there is amazing. So go try that. So that's my go-to snack. Cheetos, hot tamale candy, and Dr. Pepper, it'll change your life.
We were going to end on that question, but I feel like we need to have something else to, to cover that. Is there anyone else, please? We got one. James over here.
Oh, that's good. Sweet. Sammy, thanks for being here. So a lot of what you talked about, and even what you just, before the snack thing, a lot of what you talked about, I think, is applicable to the question I have, but just from, specifically from the perspective of someone who's been a pastor for 30 years. I mean, any, general words to like some of us PPE majors or like people going into psychology about like how we can come alongside our pastors, come alongside our local church if we're not, fully vocational, just some general words for us about, being involved in our church in a healthy way and supporting our pastors.
No, that's such a good question. here's the thing, we're all ministers. Some do it behind pulpits, some do it on the mission field, others do it in a school classroom, others do it in a mechanic shop, others do it in a hospital. But we're all ministers, and we must see ourselves as doing ministry. You are a minister that happens to be a lawyer, right? Or you're a minister that happens to be a psychologist. You're a minister that happens to be a doctor. But either way, we're a minister. There should not be a shifting in that mindset. Because sometimes we think, well, I'm not called behind the pulpit, or I'm not called to be on the mission field. But we're all called to do a ministry, right? And so I think, if anything, it's learning how to connect with those who are vocationally called, and praise the Lord for bivocational ministers as well. Individuals that are, man, look, I may not be called in this, but man, I have a heart for God and I want to serve. They all work hand in hand because we're all a part. I'm preaching to the choir, as Paul tells us, right? We're all members of the body, and each and every one of us play an important part, an important role. And so it's also knowing, look, hey, you know, I'm doing this, but I want to serve in this way. Serve, connect, rejoice, enjoy. You're a minister. Continue and be faithful through it all.
Yeah, let's end on that. That was good. That was good. No, thank you again, Sammy, for being here. I'm gonna pray for you real quick, and then I think we're gonna sing another song.
Awesome.
God, thank you for Sammy. Thank you for his ministry. Thank you for his church, for his family. Lord, we just pray a blessing over him. Lord, draw him close to you. Keep him grounded in your word, like we all want and need to be, Lord. And I pray that we would all have the discipline to make those choices that are choices that are up to us to choose to press in, to spend time with you in prayer and in your word, to know you intimately, Lord, so that we are not selling a gospel that we've heard of, but one that we have experienced. Lord, I pray that you would make us all more into the image of Christ. Give Sammy safety as he travels home today. Thank you for his word to us today. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.